time for Dean Richards and the entertainment news and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame news. Good morning, Dean.
Yes, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is right around the corner. Sorry. It is going to be...
I'm not
going
to help you. I enjoy this.
No, I totally understand. I totally understand. It's going to be October the 19th in Cleveland, Ohio, of course. And they've announced who will be performing at the ceremony this year. And it's a pretty formidable list. Keith Urban is going to be among the performers. Jelly Roll, Kenny Chesney, Demi Lovato, Dua Lipa will be among those honoring this huge cast, that class, rather, that is being inducted this year. Yeah. Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews, Foreigner.
Did we get to see that now? I know they've changed it in the last year or two. They broadcast it later on cable or something?
Yeah, that's what they've been doing. Let me see if I can... find a moment for that.
I didn't really want to know. I just wanted to give you more time to digest.
You know what the real problem is? It's not the crackers. It's the peanut butter. What was I thinking?
Yeah. It's a little sticky.
I was hungry, and I was like, oh, a little peanut butter would be, you know, a little protein hit with the peanut butter would be fantastic. but you really should not eat peanut butter 2 hours before any broadcast. Otherwise, you look, you know, like when you give a dog peanut butter and their tongues just, you know, go crazy. That's me right now.
Yeah.
That is me right now.
And don't go swimming for at least 2 hours.
Exactly right. All of that to be said, it's given me some time to learn that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremony will stream live on Disney Plus on October the 19th. And then there will be a special airing on CBS and on Hulu at later dates. So you'll be able to watch it live if you want to on Disney Plus, or they'll do you know, the greatest highlights.
Yeah, it should be a good show.
On ABC. It should be great with all those performers that they've got and this huge cast of inductees, including Ozzy Osbourne and A Tribe Called Quest. Jimmy Buffett is going to be honored. Dionne Warwick is going to be honored, so it should be a good show. Swallow now.
We have some news about Deadpool and Wolverine coming to, is it a streaming channel?
It's going to be coming, yeah, to streaming services, several streaming services. This has been one of the most successful films of the year so far. Only Insiders 2 has topped it in sales in general. It has taken in $1.3 billion this year. It's the most successful R-rated film of all time. And then last night they announced that it is going to be coming to streaming services on October the 1st. So if you are among the few that have not seen it in theaters yet, you will be able to watch it at home on Prime Video, Apple TV Plus, and also Fandango. If you like to go old school and watch it on a DVD or a Blu-ray, that's going to be October the 22nd. But the movie is still in theaters as well. It's still hanging in there. I think it's the number 5, I think, at the box office last weekend. So it's still doing pretty well out there.
What are they doing now with most movies as far as how long it will play in a theater and then when it goes to streaming? Is there like one kind of a timeline that everybody's following?
There's not really a formula like there used to be that, you know, you could, you know, kind of depend on 3 months after or 6 months after. Sometimes they release these films, you know, as soon as a month after their theatrical release. You know, they'll put them on home video. So it used to be a death knell for the movie if you were going to a streaming service, but now that's where most of the views are coming from. Home video now, it's completely changed. The fact that they're putting this on home video this quickly is very interesting to me. I think they're trying to get ahead of the Christmas releases. I think it just depends on the movie.
Yeah.
You know, and the time of year. you know, what's a good movie for certain times of year. Maybe they're, you know, thinking this is a good pre-Halloween release. I don't know. I don't know. But it's not like what it used to be. Where
no, it isn't.
You know, the movies would come out a few months after, or if it went to video too fast, that meant it was a bomb. This movie is definitely not a bomb.
There is news this morning about the estate of Richard Simmons, Dean.
Yeah, this is an interesting turn of events. Richard Simmons' housekeeper of 40 years. Has filed a petition with the judge who is looking after the settling of the estate, saying that she wants to be named a co-trustee of the estate. Apparently, she signed some papers that were given to her by Richard Simmons' brother, Leonard, pressuring her to turn down that role. And she said that she did sign it at the time, but that was right after she found Richard's body and was, you know, still in shock and was still grieving. So she's made a petition now to the judge saying she didn't understand what she was signing at the time.
Hmm.
And because she was so close to him for 40 years, that she is in the best position to fulfill his last wishes. So this could get ugly.
You said 40 years?
40 years.
Wow.
You know, 40 years. You imagine being in the same house with him for 40 years? Yeah. The woman should get something just for that.
Yeah, no kidding. I mentioned this before, and you know this, but off the air, this was a very smart guy who knew exactly what he was doing,
sure,
right?
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But he was a force of nature.
Oh, yeah.
Though when he was on the air, he literally jumped into my arms once. I wasn't expecting it. Fortunately, you know, he was just a tiny little thing, so I was able to catch him. But
yeah. I used to get my softball bat out of the office and have it handy when I was a guest.
Yeah, remember Letterman? He was that famous appearance with the fire extinguisher.
I don't think he liked that.
Yeah.
I didn't know about this Lisa Marie Presley memoir. Tell us about this.
Apparently, she had started working on it before she passed away last year. Her daughter, Riley Keough, helped to finish the book, and the news about this is that the audio version of this is not going to be narrated by the daughter, Riley Keough, but Riley Keough has asked Julia Roberts, Oscar winner, to do the narration, and she has agreed to do it. So the book is going to be coming out on October the 8th. So the audio version, I'm sure, is going to be right around the same time. But it's just such an interesting choice for the narration of this, which will also include some never-before-heard recordings and interviews with Lisa Marie Presley, who died, July of last year, so, you know, unexpectedly.
That should be an interesting book, for sure. What was it like to chat with Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah, I've always had very nice conversations with him. But I have to say, you know, when I go in to talk with him, I go in like I do when I've interviewed, say, John Malkovich, for example.
You never know what's going to happen,
you
right?
You never know. And with Malkovich, I'm pretty sure if I look directly at him, he'll steal my soul somehow. but, you know, Joaquin Phoenix has that same sort of perception when, in fact, he is a little bit of a pussycat. He's very, very nice and very polite. And this time was also kind of funny at times. We had a nice time talking about this new movie, Joker Folie à Deux. It's the sequel to the 2019 version of the Joker, for which he won an Academy Award. Now he's joined by Lady Gaga in this sequel. The sequel, as I mentioned the other day, is a musical. I think a lot of people were really surprised that it is a full-out musical. Something that he and I talked about when we sat down one-on-one in L.A. this past weekend.
Todd and I had been talking about performance and about this character performing songs. And so it was something that was like on our mind, and music was such a big part of the first film. But I didn't anticipate that he was going to really find a way to really bring music into this film in the way that he and Scott Silver did. And I was, yeah, I thought that it was challenging. I guess the what was important to us is that every musical number was really motivated, that it really felt like the reason that this character is going to sing in this moment is because it is the only way that they can communicate their feelings. And that felt really important. And once we kind of like had the understanding, it became kind of clear how we wanted to approach the music.
So is it reassuring to have one of the world's most popular singers singing with you in these scenes, or is it intimidating?
No, it's horrible.
It's horrible.
It's absolutely horrible. Yeah. No,
I would be scared to death.
Yeah.
If, you know, if I wasn't a singer, if I had to, like, suddenly do all these scenes with her.
Yeah, certainly the first time that I went to sing with her, I was intimidated, but she is, she's like, who cares, whatever, you know, like, none of this matters, sing it once, we'll do another take, you know, she's just done this so much, and she's done so many different styles of music, and so many different styles of performance. So in some ways, she really understood what it's like to be like Arthur Joker.
Hmm. Yeah, the movie's going to open a week from tomorrow, so I'll hold off and give you my review on what I think of all this music and if it works and how it compares to the other movie. I'll tell you much more about that all next week.